If you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. We do welcome all of our visitors today, and we know that the Lord is helping us, and we know that we have people that are still not well, not able to be here, but I'm thankful for each and every one of you that are here today. I want to remind you of something. This is something that I think of often. Before the Lord ever spoke the world into existence, I'll be talking about that this morning, He knew who would be here today. But you think about that. I heard a preacher years ago, he said, "Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God?" That's a good statement, amen. Our Lord knows the beginning from the end. Someone once said that life is like a parade. We're standing on the street corner and we see life one float at a time. But God is in heaven and He sees the beginning, He sees the end, and everything in between, amen. So there are things that take us by surprise, but nothing takes our Lord by surprise. The night I got saved, many people were shocked. They were surprised because they thought that I was saved. And I'd been a church member for 6.5 years. And I was trying. I wasn't trying to fool anybody. I was just trying to do my best, trying to be a good dad, trying to be a good husband. But I tell you, I had never come to the realization, Sister Hannah saying, how much He loved me, that my only hope of heaven was to agree with Him. Lord, I'm the sinner You said I was, and You're the Savior You say You are. And this old sinner needs a Savior. Amen. And when that happened, happy day in my life. I was born again. I was saved by the grace of God. And I'm grateful for that. Hebrews chapter 11, if you found your place, let's stand in reverence to the Word of God for just a few minutes, if you're able. If you're not able, that's absolutely fine. I want to read 4 verses this morning. And if God doesn't change my mind, I'm going to be preaching through this chapter. Some have called this chapter the Hall of Faith. I believe if we had more people in America interested in the Hall of Faith, and less people interested in the Hall of Fame, we'd be better off. Amen. I really do. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's a good statement in and of itself. And it says the evidence of things not seen. What I'll be preaching on today, I'll title the message, Faith, the Evidence of Things Not Seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. You can be seated. Pray for us and pray with us, please. Father, thank You this morning for the Word of God, and thank You, Lord, that You are our God. And God, thank You this morning for these that have gathered in this place today. Lord, we know today that nothing of eternal value would be accomplished in this service outside of He, the Holy Spirit of the living God. Lord, would You, the Holy Spirit, take Your Word and speak to our hearts today. Help us, our Father. And Lord, we'll give You glory for all that You do. Encourage that one that's discouraged, Lord. Lift up that one that's fallen. Lord, I pray You'd save that one that's lost. I just ask You, Father, to clothe us in our calling. Help us to say what You want us to say and leave off anything, our Lord, that would not be pleasing in Thy sight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I read something last night I thought I'd share with you. We're talking about faith, the evidence of things not seen. I just want to open the message up before I even read this and just let you know that I've never seen the old rugged cross, but I believe it's real. I've been to a place in Jerusalem where they believe was the empty tomb, the tomb that they laid Jesus in. They don't know that for sure, but I know that Jesus, they laid his body in a borrowed tomb. And I know that he got up the third and appointed day, just like the Bible said. I know that Jesus was born of a virgin. I didn't see it happen, but I know it happened. And faith, it's evidence of things not seen. And that evidence is seen in the life of the believer. And I cannot emphasize enough the fact that you and I that know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin ought to be concerned about the evidence that's in our life. Because you remember, even when David went down there and faced Goliath, remember in that valley? The Bible said that he wanted all the world to know that there was a God in Israel. In other words, it was David's faith that marched him down in that valley to face that giant. And beloved, it was because of that faith that the whole situation was turned around and God's people came out victorious over the Philistines that day. Because one man had faith, but there was evidence of that faith. And the reason for that faith is that all the world might believe, amen, and might know that there was a God in Israel. This lady by the name of Edna Butterfield, she said this, and I want you to think about this. She said, my husband Ron once taught a class of special need teenagers. Looking at his students' capabilities rather than their limitations, Ron got them to play chess, to restore furniture, and to repair electrical appliances. Brother John, I thought about you. If you had one of these teenagers in your basement, you might be teaching them how to repair those violins, you know, how to fix them up and make them sound good once again, put new strings on them. But anyway, that's what this man did with these special need teenagers. Most important, he taught them to believe in themselves. Well, young Bobby, he soon proved how well he had learned that last lesson. One day he brought in a broken toaster to repair. He carried the toaster tucked under one arm and a half a loaf of bread tucked under the other arm. In other words, he was confident that he was going to be able to fix that toaster. Amen. I want to say this. I'm not confident that I can fix what needs to be fixed in your life. But I am confident that I know the one who can fix whatever needs to be fixed in your life. His name is Jesus. Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to give you three areas this morning in these verses where we see that evidence. First of all, the evidence is observed in the saints. The Word of God said here in the second verse, for by it the elders obtained a good report. You see, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we're his workmanship. That's in verse number 10 of Ephesians 2. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're a new creature. Amen. God said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So there is evidence in the life of that person. Here, it's the elders. They obtained a good report. In Hebrews 11:39, it said, all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Proverbs 15:30 said, the light of the eyes rejoice the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. And Ananias in Acts chapter 22, he was a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. I wonder if we interviewed your family, interviewed the family, the friends around your home, interviewed the people that you work with. I wonder what the report would look like as others are on the outside looking in. Amen. It's not what we say about ourselves, but that report, they obtained a good report. That report wasn't something they put out. It was something that others saw in their life. And God, beloved, said it was a result. It was evidence of real, genuine faith. In 3 John chapter 1, Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I thought about this. I'm not going to take the time to read all the texts, but over there in the book of 1 Timothy, God says that when you're looking at a pastor, you must be looking for a man that's of good report. God said when you're looking at a deacon, you got to be looking for a man that's of a good report. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, how many know that skeletons crawl out of the closet? Amen? I thank God, beloved, listen, I've not been perfect. God knows I've not been perfect. But I thank God that I've tried to walk with the Lord since 1987 in such a way that no one's come to me in these 11, going on 12 years now and said, Pastor, listen to what so-and-so said. Amen. I'm telling you, if you just walk with God and have faith in God, you can have a report in your life, amen, that's above reproach, amen, and that pleases the Lord. And when it comes to faith, how is your report? I believe it's important. You see, the Bible said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works. Listen to me carefully. Men cannot see faith. All that men can see is the evidence of faith. All that your children can see in your life is the evidence of faith. They can't see faith. It's the evidence of things not seen. But I'm telling you, beloved, there's evidence that can be in every child of God's life that they genuinely believe the Word of God. God our Father, this is Martin Luther, he said this, has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith has everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. I want you to think about that. Amen. Martin Luther said, the true living faith which the Holy Spirit instills into the heart simply cannot be idle. Amen. It's a faith. We do not believe, I'll touch on this later, in a work salvation, but we firmly believe in a salvation that works. Amen. That when God saves an individual, He didn't save him just for heaven. If he had done that, I would already have been there in 1987 when he saved me. But he saved me and gave me a work to do while I'm here on the earth. Amen. And so that evidence is observed in the saints. But let me give you this. Evidence is obtained through the Scripture. I want you to look at verse number 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I want you to think about that for a moment. Evidence, it's obtained through the Scripture. How is your relationship with the Word of God? Amen. Is it a book you just pick up once in a while and carry it to church once in a while? I was so encouraged yesterday. I visited with a lady that was saved not long ago. And she was very quick. I gave her one of the little red New Testaments that I keep for new converts. By the way, if you want a good foundation to build on, there's 15 outlines in this little testament. If a person would learn that, they'd know more than a lot of folks been in church all their life. Amen. 15 little outlines. It'll walk you right through it. And the last time I talked to her was about 3 weeks ago. I said, how are you doing? I told her to take her time. Chris, you were with me. I said, don't rush. Take your time. And I asked her, I said, how are you doing on your lessons? She said, I'm going through them the second time. Amen. She hadn't been saved hardly a month. Amen. She done went through them once and going through them again. I visited yesterday and she was proud to show me this spiral New Testament, places for notes. And I mean, listen, I'm just saying, listen, God wants us to have a wonderful relationship with this book. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. If a person is weak in the evidence in their life, I promise you they'll be weak, beloved, in the Scripture. Amen. But if we have strong evidence, it's because of the Scripture. It's obtained through the Scripture. Someone said this, I believe it was Augustine. He said, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that thou mayest believe, but believe that thou mayest understand. You say, Pastor, that's a play on words. No, it's not really, beloved. There's some that say, well, if you'll show it to me, I'll believe. God said, believe me, and I'll show it to you. It's just the opposite, amen, in the economy of God. Now, listen, the Bible said here, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Let me give you something this morning. If you get Genesis 1:1 right, you can get the rest of it right. But if you never get settled on Genesis 1:1, you'll never get the rest of it right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible said, listen, he didn't just, take something that was already there and make something else. The Bible said the things that are seen were made of things which do not appear. God spoke this world into existence. And you say, Pastor, you really believe that? I really believe that. That's the foundation of our faith. Amen. That God, beloved, made a world. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He made the seas. He made the land. He made the fishes. He made the animal kingdom. He reached down in the dirt, got him some dirt, and formed a man, breathed into him his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I really, really believe that. And that's the God of heaven. And beloved, there's evidence in my life that I believe that. And everybody that genuinely believes, it's got to start right there. There is a God that's holy. I'm going to stand before Him one day after a while. I'm going to give an account of my life, amen, before this holy God. So you have Genesis 1:1. You have John 1, the first few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now listen, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. I'm telling you, beloved, thank God for the day in my life when the light came on. Amen. And I understood that there is a God in heaven. There is a God that loves me. There is a God that I'll answer to. Psalm 33 said, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. You say, Pastor, why are you trying to build up this big God? I don't have to build Him up, amen. I am trying to magnify Him. I'm going to tell you something right now. If he can do that, He can do anything. Somebody help me. Amen. Whatever you need Him to do in your life, He can do that. Amen. There's nothing too hard for Him. The Bible said, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. You see, beloved, those that have a problem with the Trinity have a problem with the very first chapter in the Bible. Let us make man in our. I'm not real smart, beloved, but us is plural. Our is plural, amen. There was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost right in the beginning of the Word of God, amen. And God is trying to help us to see we need that evidence in our life that's only obtained through the Scripture. By faith, we understand the Word of God. Through faith, we understand, beloved, that God created the heavens and the earth. Now listen, I'm not trying to be funny, but this is what I wrote down. Through faith, we understand that God created man. God created man, male and female. Now here's what's funny that I wrote down. There was no monkey business. Say amen. I like what one old preacher said. He said, some of my ancestors hung by their neck, but none of them swung by their tail. God made man. In the image of God, he made man. Amen. And God, it requires you and I, beloved, to believe that. We know that God made a male and female. We know that, beloved, marriage was ordained of God. And the home was ordained of God. And that it was a man and a woman. We know that. If we can't get the first chapter right, no wonder we're messed up in this world that we live in. Listen to what the Bible said. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Listen, I'm not trying to be smart this morning. But listen, if there's any doubt in your mind about the fact that our country's going in the wrong direction, when you've got a man and a man walking down an aisle, a woman and a woman, a man and a man cannot replenish the earth, a woman and a woman cannot replenish the earth, a man needs a woman to have a baby, and a woman needs a man to have a baby. We could get it right if we just get the first chapter right. Through faith we understand. The worlds were framed. The God, listen, you say, well, Pastor, you've done said too much. No, I ain't said enough. I ain't done yet. It's through faith we understand that God's got his eyes on that little baby in that womb. It's through faith we understand that's not a blob. That's a baby. It's through faith we understand that our God, beloved, listen, our God has got his eyes on that youngin right there in the womb. The Bible said we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, wait a minute. You say, Pastor, I don't understand why you would touch on other issues. You see, if we don't believe God in the beginning, God created, then we get messed up everywhere. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's impossible to believe what the Bible teaches about the Creator and not believe the rest of the Bible.
Amen.
It's through faith we understand there's heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. I've got more, I said this in prison hundreds of times, I've got more respect for a man or a woman. I've got more respect for a man or a woman that would say, preacher, take your Bible and get out of my face. I don't believe a word of it. I've got more respect for that individual, Brother Dale, than I do somebody say, well, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell. Did anybody understand what I just said? I got more respect for that person that said, I don't believe a word of it, than I do those that would tiptoe through it and say, I believe this and I don't believe that, and I believe this and I don't believe that. I just believe it. It's okay to steal as long as you don't steal over $950 worth. We're in a mess. You want to know why we're in a mess? We've gotten away from the Master. We've gotten away from the book. God's Word. There's the evidence, and it can only be obtained through the Scripture. If you go through the welfare program, you're already mad at me, so just go ahead and get madder. And take the people that can work and take them off, it'd be a better program. I'm not against helping people that can't work. There's a difference in can't work and won't work. If a man don't work, the Word of God said, just let him get hungry. He'll change his mind. He'll be looking for some leaves to rake. He'd be up in a tree, Brother David, knocking them out of the tree so he could rake them. Amen? I'm just telling you, beloved, it's so important in faith to get the beginning right. If you don't get the beginning right, you get nothing else right. It's a God, beloved. Listen, I wonder, do we really believe what thus saith the Lord? I just wrote down a few things. What about the Red Sea? Do we really believe that? Brother Chris, do we really believe that God took a sea and pushed it back, an east wind, west wind like that? Parted the Red Sea and dry ground, the children of Israel walked. Do we really believe that? I do. You say, Pastor, why do you believe that? I'm telling you, it's obtained through the Scripture. This kind of faith is obtained through the Scripture. And these liberals will come along and they'll say, well, it was actually just the swampy part of the Red Sea. Well, let me ask you a question. How do you drown Pharaoh and his horses and his army in a swamp? You see, why don't we just believe the Bible? Do we really believe that a fish could swallow a backslidden prophet? You say, Pastor, it was a whale. It's called both in the Bible. A great fish, it's called a whale. It's a big one. That's country boy talk, amen? It's big enough to swallow a backslidden Jonah. Do we really believe that he was in the belly of that whale for 3 days and three nights? I really believe it, amen? I really believe it. I'm just trying to tell you, beloved, that the only way that we can have genuine faith is to believe what God said in His Word. Do we really believe that three Hebrew children, they wouldn't bow to the image of gold? Do we really believe that because they wouldn't, they fired a furnace seven times hotter than it was wanting to be fired and throw them in there? Do we really believe that they didn't burn up in that furnace? That the next day, Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and said, did we not throw three men bound into the burning fiery furnace? Lo, I see four men loose and walking around, and the form of the fourth is likened to the Son of God. Do we really believe? If you do, there's some evidence in your life. That kind of faith changes your life. Do we really believe that our Lord Jesus would take a little boy's lunch, two fishes and five loaves, and start breaking it and blessing it and feed 5,000? There's a preacher stood up in the meeting over there at Maranatha the other night, and he had something on him, brother. Oh, Brother Webb. Brother Coulter knows him well. Oh, Brother Webb stood up. He said, I got to studying about something coming down the road. He said, boy, bless me. He said, that crowd wasn't interested in the fragments. He said, them disciples wasn't interested in the fragments. He said, but my Lord said, gather up the fragments. And then he said this, Brother Chris, he said, I'm glad just to be a fragment for Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, beloved, do we really believe that? That our God did that? Do we really believe? Do we really believe that Jesus would take some clay and some spittle, rub it on a blind man's eyes and that man could see? You see, the reason I believe all of those things is because this book is trustworthy. And because God, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That kind of faith is a gift that God gives to an individual when they put their trust in Him. Amen. The miracles. Do we really believe? Let me give you this. Turn with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3 for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. This is important today. I want you to understand this. The Bible said through faith we understand. In chapter 3, Peter said this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words, there it is, which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles, our Lord, apostles of our Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, that's people that don't believe, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Watch this now. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Do we really believe there was a flood? That only Noah and Mrs. Noah and the three boys and their wives survived? Do we really believe in that ark? Are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do we really believe Jesus is coming? If we do, there'll be evidence in our life that we believe He's coming. He's coming again. The Bible said that, use that phrase right there, they willingly are ignorant of. It's not that they don't know the truth. They've been faced with the truth and they're apostates. They turn away from the truth. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, anybody with a brain in their head knows that a man ain't got no business playing in women's sports. Anybody with a brain in their head, amen, knows that. I mean that. And I believe with all of my heart, it doesn't matter what kind of title, how you try to twist it, how you try to change it, male and female created He, them, amen. The evidence is obtained through the Scripture. And then the last thing I want to give you in the message today, the evidence is revealed through the sacrifice. We see the evidence that, beloved, is observed in the saints of God, the evidence that is obtained through the Scripture, but it's also revealed through the sacrifice. Look at verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You ought to circle that word sacrifice in your Bible. It's important. It's an important word. I'll get to it in a moment. By the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, that, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. I wrote this question after that verse. Where did the boys get their clothes? Where'd they get their clothes? How is it that Abel brought of the firstling of the flock and Cain brought of the fruit of the ground? How did that come about? How could they be held responsible for that decision? They had to have been taught. Them boys wasn't running around naked. Say amen. They had clothes. And I believe Mom and Dad, Brother Dale, taught them about the day they was trying to hide from God with their fig leaves. And God said, no, that ain't going to work. There's someone that's innocent. Something that's innocent is going to have to give his life so that you can be clothed. And beloved, it's a perfect picture of the theme that's carried on throughout the Word of God. In the Old Testament, it was the blood that put off the sins of the people from year to year. In the New Testament, it's Jesus once for all that sheds His blood on Calvary's cross. And now the sin is not put off from year to year, but it's put away. John the Baptist stood on the banks of the Jordan River and saw Jesus come, and he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So God was very displeased with Cain's sacrifice. And God was very pleased with Abel's sacrifice. It said it testified that he was righteous. In other words, he obeyed God. Now here's my question this morning. If you stood before God today, I want you to just imagine, I started to put paper in the back of all the pews and get everybody to literally write it down. But just imagine you've got a pen and you've got a piece of paper. And God stood right in front of you, right there where you are in your pew today. And God said, why should I let you in my heaven? Chris Price, why should I let you into my heaven? Don't answer me, brother. Michael McConnell, why should I let you in to my heaven? God says that to Mike. God says that to Preston. God says that to Randall. He goes through the whole congregation. And let me remind you of something. On that day, Miss Eve won't be standing there with me. It's going to be me and him. My precious past, my people here, the deacons, they won't stand with Pastor that day. And guess what? Pastor can't stand with them either. Every one of us will stand as an individual. And the answer to that question that I just asked you, God said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? The answer to that question reveals where the sacrifice is in your life. All the religions in the world, listen to me carefully, They fall under one of two umbrellas, the umbrella of works or the umbrella of grace. Now, I don't want to confuse anybody, so you stay with me just a minute. Under this, you're taught you have to do. Under the umbrella of works, and God will accept you into His heaven. Under this, you're taught it's done. Jesus went to Calvary. He paid the price for your sin. And if you'll put your trust in Him, amen, you can enter into heaven. See, the Bible said, listen to me carefully. The Bible said many will say to Him in that day. I got Bible for even presenting the question. Many will say to Him in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Here they are under this umbrella. Have we not cast out devils in Thy name? Have we not done many marvelous works in Thy name? And you know what God's going to say to them? Depart from me. You workers of iniquity, I never knew you. The saddest thing I can think of in my heart and mind is not somebody going to hell from a bar stool, but somebody going to hell from a church pew. Because, beloved, like Cain, oh yes, Lord, Lord, you know how good I am. No, He knows how bad you are. He knows how bad I am. And He knows how badly we all needed a Savior. So He sent His Son, and His Son said, I'll go to Calvary, Father. I'll pay the price that they might be redeemed. You say, Pastor, you said a while ago that in the evidence, you ought to work. That's true. But listen, we're not working to be saved. We're working because we are. There's a huge difference. Let me illustrate. My dad's name was John Vannoy Jr. I don't know where that Jr. come in, Brother Mike, because my grandpa was John Franklin Vannoy. And really, Dad didn't have a middle name. So to officially be a junior, he should have been John Franklin Vannoy Jr. And then to get even further than that, I guess we're from Kentucky. My brother's name is John Eric Vannoy, and they called him the third. They don't work like that. Say amen. It's all line up. But I'll give you an illustration this morning. Come to me in my teenage years. I'm a teenager now. I've got a dad that works hard, worked a lot of hours, Preston. He'd work all day, wash his face and hands and eat dinner and go out and work till 11 midnight every night trying to raise six youngins. Somebody comes by and I'm a teenager and I'm out there mowing the grass. And somebody says, why are you doing that? How foolish would it be for me to say, well, I'll tell you why I'm doing that. There's a guy in there and his name's John Vannoy Jr. And I'm wanting him to be my dad. Did everybody get that? Why are you washing that car? I'm just hoping one day he'll be my dad. No. I did things in obedience to my father. Not hoping he would be my father, Brother Gary, but because he was my father. My dad, I tell people this, and you'll get it maybe. He never did make me do anything. He just told me to do it. And if I didn't, he made me wish I had. That's the way it worked at my house. Say amen. But you see, I was doing those things. And listen, I'm not here today in the house of God trying to preach the Word of God. I didn't pray last week. I didn't go over there and preach at Maranatha last week. Come in here Wednesday night so that one day, oh God, I just hope I can be and do enough that You'll be my Father. No. I do what I do in my life because He is my Father. There's a huge difference. A huge difference in serving the Lord, trying to get into heaven, and serving the Lord because you're well on your way. Amen. A huge difference. You could even take that down to the offering that you put in the offering plate each Sunday. Oh, Lord, see this $20 bill, Lord? Surely that's going to gain me favor. Surely it won't. Lord, you remember that day when I got dipped in a water hole? Surely it won't. Lord, don't you remember I joined the church? Don't you remember, Lord, I was faithful? None of those things. All of them are right. Amen. But none of them will gain us entrance into heaven. The Bible said here of Abel, the Bible said he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. The answer today, you say, Pastor, if you stood before God today and God said to you, Pastor, why should I let you into my heaven? Let me go through some things quickly that I would not mention. I wouldn't mention, well, Lord, I try to pray. I try to read my Bible. I try to be a good husband. I try to be a good dad. I try to be a good papaw. Well, Lord, you know, I've been pastor down there at Bible Way now for almost 12 years. I've mentioned none of that. Lord, I try to tell others about you. I would mention none of that. Why should I let you into my heaven, preacher? I'd say, Lord, you remember. I remember. When I saw myself, Lord, you helped me do it, Lord. I couldn't have done that by myself. You helped me understand, Lord, that I was a sinner. And you helped me understand that I couldn't help myself, that I needed a Savior. I'm going to tell you what, everybody in this room that's happened in their life, right now in your mind, you're going back to that very spot when the Lord, it's kind of like a fish reeling you in. How many remembers when God reeled you in? Amen. He reeled you in. Drawn, the Bible said, with cords of compassion, with loving kindness. And I would say, Lord, that night, you helped me for the first time in my life to swallow my pride and admit I was a sinner, just like you said I was. And Lord, to admit that you're the Savior, just like you said you are. And Lord, that night, I threw myself on the mercy of God. I ask you to be merciful. And Lord, you need to let me in because Jesus shed his blood for me. And that's all I've ever trusted, Lord, for an entrance into heaven is the precious blood of Jesus. You know what my Lord would say? Come on in. He don't have to ask questions. I just used that for an illustration because he already knows the answer. He don't have to ask us a question. He already knows the answer. Done, done, done. Jesus cried from the cross, it is finished. There's nothing I can add to it. Nothing I can take away from it. And in the Old Testament, it was important that God was laying down a pattern where something that was innocent would have to die for those that were guilty. See, you and I are guilty. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not some holy Joe preacher pointing his finger at a congregation. It's a God in heaven. Sister Hannah got it right in the song a while ago. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God brought us all under that sinner so that one Savior, the Lord Jesus, could save the sinner that would look unto him. The evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Pray with me. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Lord, I'm so glad that I'm absolutely confident that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Lord, I've been enjoying the leaves the last couple of weeks, watching them change. It's as if, Lord, you got out a paintbrush and painted the side of the mountains. It's so beautiful. Lord, there's something more beautiful than that. That's when a person understands their need of thee. They put their trust in you, Lord, and you change their life, not just for time, but for eternity. God, it's my prayer this morning for those that may be among us that don't know you, that today might be the day when the pride would go out the window, where they would acknowledge, Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes